You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was studying in the Franciscan seminary system at the college level, a long time ago, we were pretty much prisoners, and so they had to keep us busy somehow or another. And so when we weren't studying, we all had work assignments. And each one of us students had two assignments, one outdoors and one indoors, so that no matter what the weather was, you always had some kind of work to do. Well, one particular year, my indoor job assignment, and you could tell that they were making up stuff like this, was to collect all the newspapers and discarded paper from the community and store it for recycling. We were ahead of our time when it comes to recycling, by the way. And so I had this room in the basement of the monastery. Big, heavy stone walls. It was very dark. And about three or four times a year, after the room would get full of newspapers and other waste paper, it was my job to call in a company that paid for this stuff by the pound and send it off on a truck for recycling. And the money went to a good cause, went to the missions. Well, it took me a few rounds to figure out that I did much better on my waste paper business when I kept a few buckets of water in the room. You would be absolutely astounded how many pounds of water a room full of newspaper will soak up. And so I was selling them water besides paper. And after a couple rounds, my conscience began to trouble me, and I stopped the practice. The missions weren't happy, but my conscience was. I told this a couple of years ago in a country parish, and the farmers told me that the grain elevators have figured this trick out. When you drive up with a load of soybeans or corn, they have a way of testing for moisture content, and they adjust your pay accordingly. But I was pretty slick back in those days. We have in our vast bureaucratic system of government, in the Department of Commerce, several places called the Bureau of Standards and an office of, what do they call it, weights and measures, I think it's called. And their job is to maintain perfect controlled, climate-controlled environments, the weights, how much a pound is supposed to be, an ounce and all of that, and a foot in length and everything else. And then they go around the country, the state and federal level, to inspect scales and places like that to make sure you're not getting cheated. And so that when you go to the Schnucks and get a pound of hamburger, you're getting a pound of hamburger, not 15 and a half ounces or something like that, because you can see the temptation that would enter into a merchant's mind if you cheat everybody just a little smidgen. Imagine thousands and thousands of times what that would add up to. So one of the necessary intrusions of government is the control of our weights and measures. And in case you thought this is something that just came up in the last few years, go to our first reading today, the prophet Amos in the Old Testament. And now, Amos, you got to like the guy. He was the consumer protection guy, the Ralph Nader of his day. Amos launches out in this reading, and it's so precious. He says, "Hear this, all you people who trample on the needy and destroy the poor of the land." He was going after the business people of his day because they took advantage in the marketplace. How? Well, first of all, they couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over so that they could go into business the next day. But then he says that they will diminish the ephah. That was a unit of weight in their day. We will diminish it. We'll give everybody just a little less in each transaction. We will add to the shekel. That was their coin of currency. So we're going to deflate the currency. At the same time, we're cheating on the weights. And he just goes on and on and launches out into these people and concludes this little section with saying, "The Lord has sworn, never will I forget a thing that they do." So there you have it. 3,000 years ago, business ethics in practice, and one of God's prophets putting it on the line in plain language. You have a similar message in Luke's gospel today, this long parable that Jesus told about the dishonest steward. This fellow, as you heard it, Jesus was very clear. He was getting ready to lose his job because he wasn't trustworthy. And so what does he do? He says, you got to admire him at least for this, his cleverness. He calls in creditors of his master, and as we would say today, he starts cooking the books, adjusting the invoices and all of that sort of thing. Another dishonest business practice, but Jesus said, when you get down to it, you got to at least give him credit for being clever and enterprising. And Jesus kind of almost says with a wry smile on his face, I wish the people in the kingdom of God were just half as clever as that. And I think that there's an obvious lesson for us here today that we should take a look at our behavior in marketing and in worldly transactions, the marketplace, we say. But first, since there's mention of it in this scripture, let's say something about the Sabbath day. Now, in the Jewish faith, it was Saturday, and the Christians changed it to Sunday in honor of the resurrection of Jesus, but the idea is the same. And most of us grew up with the idea that the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is a day for worship. That's why you're here, I think. And a day of rest, a day of not doing all the typical work things that you do, and certainly not doing business transactions. Well, try to go to any nearby shopping center after you leave church today and see who's observing the Sabbath. Nobody, including most people who say they believe in Jesus. So I leave that to your own conscience, but I think it needs to be said. The Sabbath, we have lost it. And you'd have to almost be as crazy as Amos the prophet to insist on observing the Sabbath these days. Everybody's out there trading and buying and selling right and left on Sunday like every other day. Makes no difference. We need to really examine ourselves. Back in the Jewish times, by the way, they had a lot of different Sabbaths. Not only every seventh day, modeled on the creation story, but after every 7 years, the Sabbath was a Sabbath year. And at that time, when property had gotten too much in the hands of a few wealthy people, property was redistributed. And the goods of this world were made more available to the poor and the needy. So there's all kind of Sabbath things that we have lost. But let's take a look just for a few moments at our behavior in the marketplace. I would like to suggest this morning that there ought to be a difference how we as Christians approach these things. Now, if there's anybody here, and I don't know this, who is involved in policy making or government, maybe you work for the Commerce Department and go around inspecting scales or things like that, we've got to make sure that at the policy level, we are in favor of justice for all people, no cheating for the rich or the poor. But even there, you got to qualify it just a little bit. You can't really escape it. You look through the scriptures, when it comes to the poor and the needy, God is definitely in favor of the poor. We call it the preferential option for the poor. God always comes down on the side of the little guy in any worldly affair. Affirmative action, if you want to call it that, in favor of the poor. So if you're in a policy, rule-making capacity, make sure you make good, fair rules. Here's a good one, and I'm sure there's a few people in the church who are in business. Maybe you sell things, maybe you manufacture things, whatever you do. Christians who are in the business world are obliged to deliver exactly what they say they're supposed to deliver. Weights and measures included. And anybody who is in the business world knows that the temptations to cheat and cut little corners are ever so present. Maybe you don't own a business. Maybe you are an employee. Well, business ethics sneaks into this job as well. As an employee, we're supposed to give a fair day's work for the salary and the wages we receive. And you all know as well as I do how many ways there are to cut corners on time and production, and even to go home with the boss's ballpoint pens in your pocket. Everybody knows all these little ways of shaving the responsibility off. And lastly, and this applies to everybody, I don't care, no matter what you do, we are all consumers. And I think as consumers, we should be aware that people are out to get us. And so when you go through Schnucks or Dierbergs or wherever it is, it's a good idea to read the labels, to know when you're being suckered and when you're not. Because, you know, there's all kind of things. If you believe the advertising, everything they put out there is the best thing since sliced bread, and it's not. So we need to be intelligent consumers as well. And I just thought of this when I was driving down here this morning. My Franciscan superiors finally decided that my car needs to be traded in. I've only got 192,000 on it, running to all these prisons and everything else, but they said, that's it. You got to get a car. But since we practice poverty, we don't buy new cars. So tomorrow morning, I'm getting a used car. Now, I pretty well made up my mind that I'm going to be suckered by this transaction. Who in this country believes you're going to get a fair deal on a used car? So if I get here next week, it'll be in spite of all these best efforts. So we exist in the marketplace. Let's face it. We all have different roles to play, and we have to do it in justice and fairness, and especially looking out that nobody gets taken advantage of. How do I want to conclude this whole thing? You're going to notice in the next 7-8 weeks that as we get near the end of the church year, the themes of the scriptures more and more bring up the subject of judgment. We're going to be evaluated at the end of our lives and at the end of our world on how we perform while we are here at this testing ground called Earth. And you've all seen the judgment pictured in terms of justice or mercy. Remember the statue out in front of the Supreme Court with the scale and the blindfold and everything else? We would hope that that would hold true in this world, but certainly we want it to hold true when we appear before the judgment seat of God. And it made me think of another place. We had St. Luke's Gospel this morning. I looked up another place where Jesus was teaching in Luke's Gospel, and just listen to this. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Get this. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, running into your lap, And then the last line I just love, and here we are back at the Department of Weights and Measures. For the measure you give will be the measure that you get back. Jesus couldn't be any more clear. We need to be grateful for the lesson we have gotten this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.